through the miracles of Jesus. What's the point of these miracles? What are we supposed to learn about Jesus? That he is the Christ. What else? The Son of God. And that by believing in his name, you may have what? Eternal life. Let's try that again. I really want us to hammer
this home. All right, the point of this book is so what? That you would believe what about Jesus? Sorry, that he's what?
The Son of God.
All right, as many people as I can answer this. That he's the what?
Son of God.
The Son of God. What else is he? The Christ. And that by believing in his name, what do you have?
Life.
Life or eternal life. You can split it however you want to. That's okay. That's the point of this. So John chapter 2, we saw Jesus turned the water to wine. At the end of John 4, he will return back to Cana in Galilee, which is the same place he did that first miracle, and now he's going to heal somebody. This is going to kind of be like a quick one, because John 5 is really where we want to be. But I think there's like a really interesting and good lesson for us here in John 4, if we go through it real quick. John 4, starting in verse 46, it says, then he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water to wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will simply not believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met up with him and said to him that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he believed. And his whole household, this again is a second sign that Jesus performed when he was coming out of Judea and Galilee. Okay, so in John chapter 4, what's the story here? Who comes up to Jesus? Okay, this royal official comes to Jesus, and what's going on for this royal official? His son is sick. And now you just imagine, the royal official, he would have heard about Jesus. He would have heard about the things Jesus can do. And so he goes to him because this is his last hope. He goes to Jesus, and what does he ask Jesus?
Ask for help.
Huh?
Ask for help.
Yeah, can you help me? My son is about to die. Can you come with me? And did Jesus go with him? As you hear that, father, what are you thinking right now? You know this is the guy. This is your son's last hope. He's about to die. And you've come and you've asked for his help. And he essentially told you, go home. How do you feel about that?
Helpless.
Yeah, you don't feel super great about it. Because your job was to bring this Jesus guy with you home. But what does Jesus say? He doesn't just say, go home. I was purposefully omitting a part. He doesn't just say, go home. He says, go home what?
Your son lives.
What did that guy need to go home? Faith. Did the guy see his son get better? In fact, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus with his son as his son was getting better? He wasn't. Jesus was pretty far off. And he saw that he was sick. He saw that he wasn't doing well. And the man left. And now he left at the word of Jesus. That's what he trusted in. He trusted in Jesus' word. So let me ask you. Have you ever had a physical like encounter with Jesus? You can like nod your head or do this. Okay, I was going to say, if you did this, tell me where. Because like I'd like to have one too. But no, we don't. Because he's not like, I mean, Jesus is, but he is not incarnate, dwelling on earth, on the earth anymore. Well, how do you get better? You've got sin, you've got something you need help with. You go to Jesus, how do you get better? What do you have to do? You have to trust him. That's essentially what this story teaches us, is that you have to trust God. And sometimes you don't see it. And he's not around you. He seems real far off from the problem. But you have to have faith. that he can make well. So, that's the end of John 4. That's really kind of a setup to the next chapter, John chapter 5, where we're going to spend this next little section here. So, John chapter 5, Jesus will be on his way to Jerusalem. He'll be in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he'll meet a guy. And this is probably one of my favorite stories in the Gospel of John. John chapter 5. Do y'all want to read or do you rather if I read out loud? I don't care. Either way, like, if you want to read, nod your head. Okay, y'all rather read? All right, someone read. Danny, you're nodding your head real strong, so I'm going to have you read. John 5, read verses 1 through 4 for me. Sorry, 1 through 6 for me. Okay, so the story opens up, and now Jesus finds himself in Jerusalem. And where is it that he goes? It's in the text there. He goes to the pool of Bethesda. And I just want you to, like, describe the scene at this pool in Bethesda. Is this like the hangout spot for all the cool people? Yeah, probably not. What types of people were there? Okay, sick people. And you see, like, here's the thing. Just saying sick people is too general. The text gives a specific, like, it gives us some specifics. Let's gather what's going on here. Who do you have there? What kinds of sick people?
Paralyzed people.
There's people who are paralyzed. You just met, they're just laying there. Who else do you have there?
Blind
people. Where they can't see where they're going. They don't know where anything is. Like, they're groping around trying to feel. What else? Who else do you have there? It gives us one more type. Yet those who are withered, the lame. And it says people were going there to be healed of what? Why would people go there? Like, why was that where people were going? Because they were trying to be healed of whatever it is that they had. I want you to notice the scene here in John 5. Jesus goes somewhere. Just imagine being there and how dark it would have seemed. Everywhere around you, you have what kind of people? Sick people. People who are they're sick and they're hoping, you know, like you see, like in the text, or yours may have it in parentheses. There was this thought, we don't know how true it was or not, but there was this thought that once every now and then an angel would come and stir the water. And the idea was that whoever was first to get in the water would be healed of whatever sickness they had. So you had all these sick people around this pool, and you just imagine they had to be there a lot because you never know when the angel was coming. And they were waiting or hoping that one of them could be healed. What kind of life is that? It's a desperate life. It's a hopeless life, really, is what it is. Imagine the competition. I've got to get well. No, I've got to get well. Imagine the smell there. What it would have smelled like. Imagine the noise that you would have heard. Imagine what the conversations would have been like. It's a dark place. And this is where Jesus decides to go in John chapter 5. And now in John 5, Jesus goes to this place that, which, by the way, think about a sick place filled with blind people, that they're living their lives and they don't know where they're going. They can't see. It's filled with paralyzed people that they're not getting anywhere. They always stay stuck in the same place. Like, that's this world, spiritually. That's this world. There are people that are blind and are lame and are paralyzed. And they don't see where they're going and they can't feel it. And they're just sick and they're hoping, they're desperate that something, they don't know what it is, maybe some angel, maybe some thing, some person will come, something or someone will come and show us the way. Show me how to walk. Show me how to get to where I'm getting to. Show me how to see. Maybe someone will come. That's the world we live in. And that pool in Bethesda would have been very reminiscent of the world in the first century, their spiritual condition, as Jesus came into it. And so Jesus comes, and he walks up to a man, and now what's this guy's problem? According to the text. Yes, he had no one to take him to the pool, and why didn't he have anyone to take him to the pool? Because he was what? He was lame. Now, it's not like he was lame, like he wasn't cool. His legs, like, he couldn't walk. And he had been lame for how long? For 38 years. Adam, how old are you? Aren't you 38? So imagine, like, Adam's entire lifetime. It's a long time. No. This guy could not walk. The idea seems to be he wasn't born lame. We'll get to a guy in chapter 9 later on, the last lesson, where a guy was born blind. This guy wasn't born lame. He got there at some point. Let me tell y'all something. I've been this skin complexion for 25 years. Do you know what I probably think is not going to happen? You want to take a guess? I'm probably not going to be white. Like, this is probably, like, after a few years, I figured this is probably who I'm going to be. I've been balding since I've been 18. You know what I think is probably not going to happen? I'm probably, like, not going to have Adam's hair. Like, this is it for me. You know, like, there's some things, and here's the point. There's some things that after a certain amount of time, you just think, this is who I am. This is where I am. I'm never leaving here. I'm never getting out of here. This is who I'll always be. Imagine after 38 years, the guy would have thought, I am a paralyzed person. Like, that would have been his definition of himself. That's who he would have been. And so Jesus comes up to this guy, and he asks him a question. What question does he ask him? Do you want to be made well? Or do you wish to be well? Now, I purposefully stopped in verse 6. Let's say you've been sick your entire life, or you've been sick for 38 years, and someone comes to you and they ask you that question, do you wish to be well? What's your answer? Like, yeah, duh, obviously, of course, like, something like that. I want you to notice the guy's response. I want you to think about why he answers the way that he answers. What do we learn about the guy? And what do we see about Jesus here and what he does for this man? So let's keep reading. Someone pick up in verse 7 and read just verse 7 to verse 9.
The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed.
Just the first part there. Thank you. Okay, so Jesus asks him a question, and the question was, do you want to be well, or do you wish to be well? Which to me, that's a yes or no question. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to get well? Yes, I do. No, I don't. But Jesus asks him this question, and how does the man respond? What does he say? I have no hope. In this guy's mind, that question, do you wish to be well, isn't a question he's asking himself anymore. You see what I'm saying? This is just who he is. He's paralyzed. And that's who he's going to be for the rest of his life. That's at least how he would have envisioned himself. I have no one to help me. I'm here by myself. It's just me and this bed, and I can't get better. You know people like that? Are we sometimes like that? You ever think, this is just who I am. I'm just an angry person, and I try to fight it, but anger's who I am. Or I'm just a greedy person, or I'm just this person. I'm just a rude person. This one is mine. I'm just a rude person, and that's just who I am. I try to fight it sometimes, but really, that's just me. I can't. This is who I am. I'm just an arrogant person. I'm just a sexually immoral person. Whatever the deal may be, it's easy to think, this is just who I am. It's who I've been. People have left me here. No one cares about me. Everyone around me is also sick. What's the big deal? And it's easy to go defining yourself by what your sickness is. I've been this sick for this long. I've been struggling with this sin for this long. I've been struggling with this mentality, with this doubt for this long, and this is just who I am. The question is, do you wish to be well? And so do you? Second miracle. First miracle is Jesus' power to transform. Second miracle we see of Jesus is Jesus, well, the third one, I guess. The second one is the idea of Jesus, like being able to trust Jesus at his word. But the third miracle we see here in John 5 is Jesus' ability to make well. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know, like, what in your mind you're struggling with. And you can be here and, like, people may think that you're well, and you may be. But I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe the elders don't know. Maybe Kenny doesn't know. Maybe the elders where you're back at home and the people where you're back home, like, don't know what you're going through. And you may feel like you can't talk to anybody about it. You may feel like this is just who you are. Jesus came, he went to a place where people were sick. The question he asked was, do you wish to be made well? That's the same question he's asking us. Do you want to get well? Not how. He can figure that out. He knows how to do that. Not when, not just do you want to be made well? And until you can tell yourself, yes, I do, you're going to be sick. So Jesus tells this man, do you wish to be well? And he's like, I have nobody. No one can help me. No one can save me. This is who I am. This is who I've been. This is who I am going to be. Then what does Jesus say to him? It's interesting. Like, this funny part, like, Jesus almost like ignores what the guy says and says what to him? Pick up your pallet and walk. It's almost like, I mean, now clearly the miracle is Jesus saved him and he gave him the ability to walk, but it's almost like, stop being there. Get out of there. Get up. Walk. Go. And so Jesus, I want you to notice a few things here. Let's say Jesus tells this guy, pick up your pallet and walk. And that guy's just laying on that bed. And he's like, I can't get up. I don't think you understand. I am sick. No one's going to help me get better. That guy would have had the opportunity to be made well. But he would have stayed in that place his whole life. And oftentimes, God asks us, do you want to be made well? Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is you're dealing with, do you want an out? And we just stay in our beds and in that pallet, and I can't get better. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. I'm struggling with this. I can't fight it. I can't beat it. This is just me. And the solution is right there. The solution is Jesus himself. And so Jesus tells a guy to get up, take his pallet, and walk. By the way, like, what's a pallet? Your translation may have a different thing. A what?
Like a,
it's like a bed. Where's your bed, by the way? Like, your actual bed. Where is it? At home. Why is it at home? Why is your bed at home? This is like super, yeah, it's like super simple questions here. Why is your bed at home? Because it's where you live. Jesus tells this guy, pick up your pallet, pick up your bed, and do what? And walk, and presumably walk where?
Out of there.
Because that's not where you're going to be anymore. Here's the thing. Jesus has the power to make us well. And he tells us, again, spiritually, pick up your pallet and walk. You've been spiritually paralyzed. You've been spiritually lame. Get up. Get out of there. That's not where you belong anymore. And too often, again, he has the power to make us well. He has the power to heal us. And maybe you've been healed, but you just stay in that bed around all the other sick people, and you're like, man, yeah, life is terrible for us. We can't walk. We're awful. Like, and that doesn't have to be the case. Jesus heals. He has the ability to make well. And in his ability to make well, the question is, will you get up and start walking? Are you going to leave where you currently are? So this guy picks up his bed and he begins to walk. Now let's see what happens, because there's a little bit more to this story. There's a few more things I want us to notice here. Someone pick up with the reading here and continue from verse 9 and read verses 9 through 12.
And at once
Sorry, just to that, to verse 11. Okay, so the guy picks up his pallet and he walks. Now, what day was this, by the way? It was the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees had a little rule. What can't you do on the Sabbath? According to the text, you can't be walking with your bed. Okay. So the guy's like walking with his bed, and the Pharisees come up to him, and what do the Pharisees ask him? What do they say to him? Yeah, hey, you can't be doing that. What are you doing? How dare you pick up your pallet and walk? Don't you know that it's against Pharisaical law to be picking up your pallet and walking? What does the guy say? The man that healed me told me to pick up my pallet and walk. All right, what are we supposed to learn about that? Like, what does that mean for us? Why does that matter for me? Like, what am I supposed to learn about that part right there? Trusting God's power, absolutely. Like, he's the one who's powerful enough to save us. What else? Yes. Here's the thing. The one who heals you sets the terms and conditions for now how you live. Not everybody else around you. The Pharisees would have been like, why are you picking up your pallet and walking? And this guy would be like, look, I was paralyzed for 38 years and now I'm walking. So you know who I'm going to listen to? Who am I going to listen to? The guy who healed me. I'm not going to listen to you guys. Jesus, the doctor, the good physician, is the one who sets the terms and conditions for now how we now walk. Let's say you went to the doctor and you had some operation done. The doctor, whatever, you broke your arm and they heal it and they say, okay, take this medication. You come to them and you're like, yeah, I'm taking this medication. I'm like, hey, why are you taking that junk? Don't take that. Leave that. You're going to look at me and say what? You're not a doctor, dude. Like, sorry, but you know nothing about medicine. I don't. You shouldn't take my advice on that. You should listen to the one who healed you. Spiritually, this is the thing. So Jesus is the one who heals us. Right? Spiritually, who makes us walk. He says, pick up your pallet and walk. And spiritually, we start walking. And then someone's like, wait, why are you doing that? Why are you preaching this? Why do you think baptism is necessary for salvation? You don't need that. Why do you have to worship on Sundays? You don't have to do that. Why do you partake of this Lord's Supper? You don't have to do that. Who's telling you to do that? Stop doing that so much. It's not all that necessary. Quit it. Or maybe you're like me. And your family aren't religious at all. They're like, why are you being kind to people? Stop doing that. People are going to take advantage of you. Stop doing that. What's the thing, though? The one who heals prescribes. And that's who we listen to. If Jesus is the great physician, again, he's the one. He is the Christ. He is the one who was sent to save. If he is the one who came and saved me, then I have got to listen to what he says. And so who are you listening to? Again, rhetorical. But who are you listening to? Are you listening to the doctor? Or are you listening to everybody else? Which, by the way, who would these people have been? The guys who came to this, the previously lame man, we got to give him a nickname or something. Who are these people who came up to him? Like, who is he having this conversation with? Pharisees. The Jews, the Pharisees. And who are the Pharisees? Yeah, the teachers of the law. Like, these are the higher-ups. Well, if the higher-ups disagree with the highest up, you don't listen to them. And the one you listen to is the great physician. And I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm not. Like, we need to understand this, that he is the one that we listen to. Regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what you're confronted with, whatever question you have, why are you living this way? The why is determined by the what Jesus did for you. And the what he did for you was spiritually made you walk. So let's keep going here. So this is what he tells them. The one who healed me told me to pick up my pallet and walk. So that's what I'm doing. Let's keep going and let's see what happens. Keep going from verse 12. Verse 12 through verse 16. Someone pick up and read on that.
Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" For the one who was headed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Okay. That's through verse 15, but that's fine there too. Okay, so they say, "Who made you well?" And now the guy is like, I don't know. But later on, Jesus finds this guy, right? And where does he find him? In the temple, which is interesting, because this is a story here in Acts chapter 3. You get a very similar story. Peter and John heal a lame man, and the lame man immediately goes into the temple. It's interesting. If I like had been lame for 38 years, and now you can walk, where are you going? Let's get metaphorical. I mean, rhetorical. Like, where would you go? Think about it. You've been paralyzed for 38 years, and now you've got your legs. Where would you go? This guy went to the temple. Like, it would have been the Sabbath. He went to go worship God. Like, that's where he was going. There's a sense of gratitude with healing. Whenever you've been made well, you've got to be grateful for it. And I imagine this guy would have just thought, you just imagine this guy would have been sick and he would have been praying, "God, if you can make me better, I promise I'll go to the temple. I promise I'll do this. I promise I'll live better." At least he's doing something here. So Jesus finds him, and this is like the strangest, at least for me, the strangest interaction Jesus has with anyone in the Gospel of John, at least in these first few chapters. He sees the guy, and we've got to get him a name. I can't think of anything. Okay, so he sees the previously lame guy, and he's like, "Hey, look, you're well." And to some other guys, he'll say, "Go on your way." What does he say to this guy, though? "See that you're well. Sin no more." Which should be a correlation between this and what we'll see in chapter 9 later on. This guy apparently did something that led him to be where he was. But he says, "Sin no more." Why? So that nothing worse happens to you. Which, think about it, if you're this lame, if you're the ex-lame guy, you had been lame for how long? For 38 years. In your mind, you're like, what's worse than this? Like, what's worse than being paralyzed, stuck in this place where everybody else is sick and they're suffering and it's terrible and everybody's hopeless and helpless? What's worse than that? Apparently something is. When you've been made well, being made well needs to change the way that you live your life. Jesus offering healing. He doesn't offer you healing so you can say, "Okay, go back to living the way that you were, go back to being sick again." Like, that's not the point. He offers healing to push change. That's what we're seeing here. He sees the guy, the guy's been made well. He says, "Look, you've been made well. Now sin no more. Stop sinning. Whatever it is you were doing before, you need to stop that." So he heals to inspire change. He also lets them know there is something much worse than what you're going through right now, or than what you were in right now. And again, like, I don't know what you're going through and what you're struggling with. And you may think, this is as bad as it's going to be for me. The point is, Jesus is like, there's something a little bit worse than that. And you want to avoid that. So for us, as we kind of wrap up here before lunch, do you wish to be made well? It's kind of on you. Because Jesus offers the healing. It's interesting. In this place, he goes to this pool in Bethesda where everyone is sick. And how many people does he heal? He only heals one guy. But this question, do you wish to be made well? He offers it to us. And who is he willing to heal? Everybody. But ask yourself that question. Do I want to be made well? What am I struggling with? What am I dealing with? Do I want Jesus to make me better? Because that's really where it comes from. Like, you will not get better until you decide it's time to be better. I broke my hand my freshman year of high school playing basketball. And it hurt like crazy. But I was stubborn. And my mom, like, hated it. She was yelling at me. I was like, all right, lady, calm down. But I determined I was not going to the doctors. And for 2 days, I just writhed in pain with a broken hand because I felt like being there. It was stupid. I thought it was dumb. And it wasn't until I decided, all right, I should probably go to a doctor because my hand hurts too much, that I got better. Spiritually, it's the same thing. It's not that the healing isn't there. It's that oftentimes we don't decide to take it. And so, are you going to get better? If the answer to that is yes, you need to get up from where you are, from like the spiritual mess, and we got to get out of there. That's why he makes us better, so that we can get out of where we've been or where we are. He then becomes the prescriber of your life. He tells you how you should now live your life. And you don't listen to everybody else because they don't decide that for you. The doctor does. You got to live a grateful life and a thankful life for what he's done for you. And it's got to inspire change in the way that you live your life. So, do you wish to be made well? That's miracle number two. We're going to take a break. I think eat lunch and then come back for lessons 3 and 4.
Let me ask you to do this. If